This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivasodhi. Blood in the urine, known medically as hematuria, is frightening to anyone who encounters it, but it is also not usually a reason for major alarm. However, hematuria can be a sign of a serious medical condition and therefore shouldn't be ignored either. Treatment usually depends on the underlying cause of the bleeding, which is why a visit to the doctor is usually a must. Here to shed more light on hematuria and the importance of getting it checked out are Sunway Medical Center's consultant urologist Dr. Badrul Hisham Bahadur and consultant nephrologist Dr. Thiruvendran Thilaganathan. If you have a question for either of them, send it through or give us a call. The number is 0377109000. Tweet BFM Radio or text 0162019000. Welcome to the show, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good, Meera.
Okay. I want to start with Dr. Badrul. For those of us who, you know, have or do experience some blood in the urine, I mean, what are the first things that we really should be doing, besides, of course, panicking? What should we take into account and, move on and get it checked out?
Well, I guess the first thing is to look at the severity of the bleeding. We use the term gross and microscopic. Gross as in what the patient can see in the urine, whether it's red in color or clear. Microscopic hematuria are those whereby the urine looks normal and the blood is only visible when the doctor tests it with a dipstick or microscopy examination. So that would be the first thing that I would say that the patient should have in their mind. And as well as that, look at the kind of symptoms that accompany the sign of the blood in the urine.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it can be as simple as you may have had beetroot the night before, isn't it? I mean, and that colours your urine. I've panicked because of beetroot. Only when you sit and think about it, then, you know, you understand why. But other medication can also contribute. What else contributes towards a different colour as far as urine is concerned?
Well, Meera, as you pointed out, there are a whole long list of things that could cause urine to appear to be red. But I think it's important to be aware that having blood in the urine or your urine appearing to be red is a red flag symptom. There's something definitely wrong with it. And I think the first step that you should take is to go and see your friendly doctor and try and sort it out. Many causes of urine appearing to be red, the most dangerous one is blood itself. Mm-hmm. But as you pointed out, food pigments, for example, beetroot, for example, red tomatoes or certain drugs could cause your urine to be red as well.
What are visible signs of hematuria, besides, of course, the colour of your urine? Are there any other symptoms?
Well, the frequently accompanying symptoms with hematuria would be pain and passing urine. The medical term is dysuria. Or sometimes even frequency, meaning that you have to rush the toilet very frequently to pass urine. And more sinister signs would be pain, either in the flank or in the lower abdomen. So these are all danger symptoms, and you need to seek medical attention as soon as possible.
But hematuria can originate from any site along the urinary tract. Am I correct? Or where does this include?
Well, exactly, as you pointed out, the urinary system is divided into a few areas. Okay, so you can think about upper urinary tract and lower urinary tract. Mm-hmm. So in the upper urinary tract, there are the two kidneys and the two tubes that connect the kidneys to the bladder, called the ureter. So this forms the upper urinary tract. And then lower urinary tract consists of bladder and the outflow tube that goes through in men through the penis. It's called urethra. So if we take kidney, the blood can actually come from either the urinary tract, where the parts which are indirectly in contact with urine, or from the filtration system. So there are, as you can see, there are various places where the blood can come from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in the case of women, sometimes it can also come from the vagina. How do you know it's coming from the urine and not from the vagina?
Yeah, well, some patients came to you with, after they found blood spots in their underpants, mm-hmm. and they're querying where the blood came from. The easiest would be is just to ask the patient to give a urine specimen.
Right.
It's important to collect the specimen in a manner that prevents contamination. For female, it involves separating the labia, cleaning from front to back, and then voiding, letting out the first few drops of urine and only collecting the middle part of the stream. The same goes to male, especially in uncircumcised men. They need to pull back the foreskin and clean it up properly with water before giving the specimen. So by preventing contamination, it will prevent unnecessary, you know, stress associated with finding blood in the urine.
Okay. And this is, I think, a very common question. A lot of people assume that. What is the usual or what is the normal colour of your urine? Because always you hear, oh, if it's too yellow, you're not drinking enough water, that sort of thing. Is that really true?
Well, I frequently get patients coming and complaining to me that, you know, their urine is not normal. And when I ask them what is normal urine, they themselves do not know what it is. But it's fair to state that your urine should appear yellow, or at least different shades of yellow, from pale yellow to a deeper yellow. But in a healthy individual, this is very much influenced by your hydrational status. So if you notice the first thing in the morning, if you pass urine, it's a very dark yellow, simply because you have been dehydrated overnight. And later in the day, as you consume more and more fluids, your urine becomes a lighter yellow. Mm-hmm. So this is the spectrum that it should be in. Anything varying from this would be abnormal.
Okay, so color could be also an indication of how well hydrated you are.
Certainly.
And you should use that as an indicator. Studies have shown that between 9 to 18% of normal individuals can have some degree of hematuria, but is it a sign that we should be concerned about, or is it something that's normal?
I think on the whole, we need to be clear that having blood in the urine is abnormal. The question is, you may fall into a very small percentage of patients who we may not be able to identify the cause of the blood in the urine. And this is usually microscopic hematuria, meaning that urine in which you cannot see blood. It's not visible to the naked eye. So in this small group of patients, follow-up is very important because they may develop sinister symptoms later on, a few months, a few years down the line. So they need some form of follow-up.
What does invisible urine, what does that indicate?
When I say visible, meaning that you can see redness
in
the urine.
In the event that it is invisible, and we don't know it's there, and that's the concern, isn't it? What does that indicate?
Well, in fact, I would think that if you have microscopic hematuria in which you can pick up the blood cells using a microscope or using a dipstick, you would likely have a problem higher up in the urinary tract, meaning that it's most likely to come from within the kidneys. And this is where the proper testing methods can differentiate where the origin of the blood is. And then that would then further narrow down the possible cause of hematuria.
We're discussing blood in the urine with Dr. Badrul Hisham and Dr. Thiruvendran, consultant neurologist and consultant nephrologist from Sunway Medical Center. If you have a question for them, give us a call. The number is 03-7710-9000. Tweet BFM Radio or text 016-201-9000. Is any specific group at risk of developing hematuria or blood in the urine?
Well, that's a difficult question to answer because anyone can pretty much develop hematuria. As you pointed out, about 9 to 18% of the population have asymptomatic microscopic hematuria, meaning they don't have symptoms. When we test their urine, they do have microscopic blood found.
Yeah.
But I will just maybe change the way the question was raised here. Yeah? The ones with hematuria, Who would be the one where we need to keep an eye on them?
Okay.
Yeah. So this would be, first of all, males, those who are above the age of 35, those who smoke, those who have any prior history of illness relating to the urinary tract, like Stone's disease or previous tumors or previous accidents, traumas, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Those who has been given medications that we know can irritate the bladder, like chemotherapy, radiotherapy to the pelvis in the case of other cancers like colon cancer or cervical cancers. So these are the groups where we're not going to sit, you know, calmly and let them go. These are the ones where we need to see them back over and over again.
Okay, why, Dr. Badrul? Why male? Why over the age of 35 and smoking?
Yeah, because these are known risks associated with cancer development in the urinary tract, especially bladder cancer. And as you know, any cancers, we would like to diagnose them at an early stage rather than at a late stage. So someone presenting with microscopic hematuria can be the earliest sign for this type of cancer.
Microscopic, meaning you can't detect it with the naked eye. You need to actually further test. And how would somebody realize that there is blood in the urine when you can't see it? So are you saying that if you are 35 and above, ideally you should be doing regular tests, maybe every year or something?
Yeah, that's a valid point. Most cases of microscopic hematuria are picked up on routine screening. So these people go for regular health checkups, and then they pick up there's some microscopic blood in the urine, and then they have further evaluation. And as you pointed out earlier, there'll be a significant number with a benign underlying problem, but we still have to work them up.
Yeah, no harm in getting it checked out. Stephen Fye saying, is foamy urine normal, or is it true it's a sign of an impending kidney problem?
Okay, that's a question for a nephrologist. Foamy urine is another component in the urine that causes foam, that is protein. And more often than not, protein tends to accompany blood, but in the microscopic variety, meaning that if you have protein in your urine, you will get foamy urine. And at the same time, you may have small amounts of blood in the urine. Okay, that's a different topic altogether. Foamy urine usually means there's something wrong with your filters in the kidney. But please remember that there are many things that can cause foam in the urine. And from my experience, the most common cause is too much soap in the toilet bowl.
Yes, that's a good point, actually. And some initial questions that we should ask a GP. When you know blood has been detected in the urine, what should we be asking the GP?
Well, I would think that the questions that the GP would be asking the patient. Mm-hmm. Well, generally his approach would probably be symptom based, meaning that he would ask for associated symptoms with the hematuria, and this would include pain, fever, frequency of urination. All this would help him to narrow down the possible cause. And after all those initial questions, then he'll go into detailed history taking, and this is where your diet history, your drug history, and your underlying diseases that you may have come into play. Once all this is done, then he'll move on to the second step, which is to test your urine. And the easiest test would be to use a dipstick, which is available in any clinic, in which you'll confirm the presence of blood in the urine. And once that is confirmed, he should send the urine for a microscopic analysis to ensure that it is actually the red blood cells that we see in the urine and not something else that's causing a darkened urine.
Okay, so once you have ruled out that it is not food or it's not your medication or the common causes, then it could be a little more complicated.
Yep.
And I think the most common cause of blood in the urine is an infection or cystitis. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So we'll come back and have that discussion up next. More about cystitis and an infection. We'll go through, of course, kidney infections, bladder or kidney stone, enlarged prostate, all of which could be a reason for blood in the urine. If you have a question, give us a call. The number is 03-7710-9000. Tweet BFM Radio or text 016-201-9000. Good afternoon. It's The Bigger Picture and I'm Mira Sivasodhi. In our Health and Living segment today, Dr. Badrul Hisham Bahadur, who is a consultant urologist, joined by consultant nephrologist Dr. Thiruvendran. We are Telanganathan and we're discussing blood in the urine. When do you see a specialist? And I think that's a very crucial question. We always tend to run to the specialist whenever we have a little problem like blood in the urine. When would you come into the picture, Dr. Badrul, as a urologist?
Well, let's make it simple. First of all, if you see yourself having blood in the urine, you can see yourself. That's cross hematuria. And I think that in itself is a serious condition. And that's the time when you really need to get yourself seen by a specialist, any specialist. So that's number one. The problem comes when you have microscopic hematuria and you're not sure whether you should go and shouldn't go. And the easiest would be if you have symptoms accompanying the microscopic hematuria, really you need to see the GP first of all to get some assessment. And if the GP diagnosed it as the most common condition to cause microscopic hematuria and symptoms like frequency, which is, you know, urinary tract infection, he or she will attempt to treat that first. You know, normally after 3 days, patient tends to get better. If they're not, then they should come back for a repeat testing. And then if there is still persistent hematuria, you know, after 3 days, after a week, it may be then a time for the patient to go and get seen by a specialist. Some would have this persistently or you know, recurrent. And this is also another reason why they should go and see a specialist.
Okay.
And I also need to like remind again about all these risk factors I mentioned earlier about, you know, age, male sex and everything.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. And cystitis, the most common cause of blood in the urine, in the UK at least, is cystitis. Is it the same here in Malaysia?
Certainly. I mean, infections are the most common cause of cystitis in Malaysia as well. But there are also other issues that we need to worry about if someone we think may have cystitis. As Badrul mentioned, especially in a male who is a smoker, he may present with symptoms of cystitis, but he may be having an underlying tumour. So these are important considerations.
Okay. Is there any way we can avoid infection?
Certainly. The reason why we get infections is simply because of colonization of bacteria that moves up into the tract and then gets into the bladder. So where does this bacteria come from? It comes from usually the surrounding environment. So personal hygiene is an important issue in cutting down the risk of infections. Number two is to try and maintain a good flow of urine. So that would then prevent bacteria from colonizing the bladder walls. So that also helps cut down the incidence of infections in the urinary tract.
Women seem to be very prone to urinary tract infections. Why is that?
Well, that's the difference. I think for obvious reason, men has a longer outflow tract from the bladder. Mm. So that if there's any bacteria who wants to ascend that tube, it'll be, you know,
more difficult
way to get up. So short urethra in female is one of the strong reason why women get more cystitis than men. Other things like it's easy to get the bacteria in sexually active women. So sexual intercourse can be a factor, and especially so if it's more frequent and intense. That's how we got this term honeymoon cystitis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In sexually active women who use a lot of this spermicidal agent in order to prevent them from, you know, getting pregnant, this can also alter the microflora of the bacteria around the vaginal area, and this can kill the good bacteria and help the bad ones to grow and get into the bladder. With women who's menopausal, it's different. It's to do with the effect of the menopause itself. It causes thinning of the skin, the area of the vagina. It's called vaginal atrophy. And women, menopausal women, can get a lot of injuries there as a result of cracking and thereby, you know, promoting the growth of these bad bugs again. And, mm-hmm. and that's how they get cystitis easily. Older women also can have some mechanical problem, you know, pelvic floor weakness. And as a result, they can get problems with uterovaginal prolapse and cystocele. And this again can cause them not being able to empty their bladder well.
Of course. Yeah. And what about hormones in not the menopausal woman, but the ordinary person? How much do hormones play a role as far as UTI is concerned?
Well, as far as I know, it doesn't really cause a change in terms of the incidence of UTI, whether they take oral contraceptive pill or not. It's more so towards the local agent that they use around the vagina, like spermicidal, some diaphragm containing spermicidal agents, and some type of condoms where the women can actually develop some contact allergy with it.
It was interesting to read that more than half of all women will have a urinary tract infection at least once in their lives, possibly with some urinary bleeding. Why is that?
Yeah,
you
well,
can do all the right things yeah. and still stand a chance of...
Yeah. It's because of all the reasons that I've just mentioned earlier. I mean, lifetime risk, at least once in your whole lifetime. Sexually active women, probably around 0.5 to 1 episode per year. And these are normally can be treated easily by the general practitioner with antibiotics, and it should go away easily.
Yeah, and it seems to recur for some women over and over. Is it because that... bacteria balance is still not quite perfect?
Yeah, well, many reasons. It could be wrong antibiotics being used against the wrong organism. That's one thing.
Right.
Also, like you said, the balance between the good and the bad bacteria is altered. Some women likes to use strong cleaning agent, and this can actually be bad for them because again it can kill off everything, and then the bad ones seems to grow first. Yeah, so this might be the reasons why women can get recurrent cystitis.
Okay, so in terms of the wash and stuff, you got to be picky about what you use and what you don't. You don't really need a strong wash because you need to maintain this healthy balance of bacteria as well. Okay, keep that at the back of your mind, ladies. Kidney infections are also cited as a reason for blood in the urine. When do kidney infections occur, Dr. Thiru?
Okay, kidney infections are a much more serious problem. It's classified as a complicated urinary tract infection simply because it means that the bacteria has had time to climb up all the way from the outside all the way into your kidneys, which are higher up.
So past the urinary tract and
beyond the bladder, into the ureters, and finally into your kidneys. So usually patients with kidney infection, the medical term is pyelonephritis, they are usually very ill. They've got high fever with chills and rigors. They may have a lot of pain in the abdomen or at the flanks. And they usually become very, very sick very, very fast. Most of the time, these people, either they have had a lower urinary tract infection which has not been well treated, or which has been treated incompletely, and then they get a complicated infection in the kidney. Mm-hmm. Or you may be having an underlying problem like diabetes, where the sugars are not well controlled, and this predisposes you to a kidney infection as well. So once a diagnosis of kidney infection is established, you would need antibiotics for a prolonged period of time, because this can lead to kidney failure if it's left untreated.
Okay, and one of the signs could be a possibility because of blood in the urine as well.
Sure.
Okay, bladder or kidney stone might be a cause as well?
Yes, in the elderly population, for instance, for bladder stone, it can be quite a problem. And one of the first signs that one can detect would be microscopic hematuria. The patient may also have symptoms such as frequency, urgency, sense of incomplete bladder emptying, more so for bladder stone. For patients who have kidney stone, the symptoms varies. There are those who doesn't have any symptoms at all. There are those who present with varying degrees of hematuria, whether gross or microscopic. Some may have pain in their loin. And these stones from the kidney sometimes can detach and travel down the tubes, and that can cause severe loin to groin pain. And this is one of those reasons why patients present to emergency department when they have this sort of severe pain.
Okay. Vijaya is I think she did probably missed what you spoke about, Dr. Badrul, but she's saying cystitis for women, could it also be due to poor hygiene?
Yes, it could. Yeah, I think.
What about dirty toilets? I've always wondered about that.
Uh-huh. Well, that's one
using toilet paper in public toilets. You know, I've just become a little paranoid about that. But should
well,
we be paranoid?
I think logically, I think it would be a cause because women the way they void themselves, especially if they sit on the toilet bowl, there's a possibility of a backwash. Meaning that the urine splatters onto the bowl, and then there's some backwash from the bowl to your perineum. And this may carry contaminants. So that's a possibility. But having said that, I don't think that's solely the reason why. There's probably a lot of other reasons as well that has contributed to the infection.
Okay, so not just dirty toilets.
Yeah.
Okay. For men, an enlarged prostate might cause blood in the urine. Could you explain what happens to this and the cause of that?
Yeah, well, as men get older, over the age of 50, automatically the prostate starts getting bigger and bigger, and this is just part of aging. In some men, the symptoms can be, they can get symptoms as a result of prostate enlargement. So their urination may be slower, they may get frequency, urgency, they may be waking up at night to pass urine. And some of them can get so big in a way that the blood vessels become much more prominent around the prostate, and this can sometimes get traumatized, and they can see blood coming out in the urine, whether microscopically or gross. Secondly, aside from that, they can also have infection as a result of not being able to empty their bladder, and this infection can cause inflammation around the lining of the bladder, and then you can get blood in the urine.
Okay. That could also stress the kidney, am I correct?
Certainly.
And enlarge prostate.
Yeah. If your flow of urine is not complete, meaning that you tend to retain urine in the bladder, then obviously you have a chance for bacteria to accumulate and move up into your kidneys. Another reason is if you have got a condition where there's obstruction to the flow of urine, that would mean that there's buildup of pressure within the bladder, and subsequently this pressure is transmitted into the kidneys, and your kidneys start to swell up because of this back pressure. So that is another cause of kidney failure, in fact.
Okay. Advanced kidney, bladder, or even prostate cancers are also triggers for blood in the urine. We will come back very quickly and discuss cancer and whether or not, what are chances of blood in the urine being linked to cancer. Our phone lines are open if you'd like to ask the doctors a question on blood in the urine. We have a urologist and nephrologist in the studio, and the number to call us 03 77 10 9000. Tweet BFM Radio or text 016 201 9000. Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivasodhi. The folks from Sunway Medical Center in the studio with us, Dr. Badrul Hisham Bahadur, who's a consultant urologist, Dr. Thiruvendran Tilanganathan, who's a consultant nephrologist. We're discussing blood in the urine. When do you seek treatment? Whether or not do you see a GP? Do you go and see a specialist straight away? We've gone through a couple of possible conditions that could contribute towards blood in the urine. Some terribly, terribly simple reasons. Food enzymes, did you call it? No, food
pigments.
Thank you. Beetroot is an example. It could be a medication that you're taking. It could be a whole load of other issues, such as urinary tract infection. We've gone through kidney stones and a whole load of other issues. But just to go on to the more sinister causes of blood in the urine, kidney, bladder, or prostate cancer are also triggers for blood in the urine. Could you explain to me why and how do you, which presents first? Is it the blood in the urine, or does the do you detect the cancer first? Which one comes first?
Well, gross hematuria, first of all.
Which is the one that blood that's visible?
Yep. Yeah, in which blood is visible in the urine. In about a fifth of patients who present with gross hematuria, they were found to have some form of malignancy in their urinary tract. So anyone who present with visible urinary one grossly should actually get a specialist attention. It could be the first sign. Yeah, we were all taught in medical school, you know, painless gross hematuria equals malignancy until proven otherwise.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's really need to be taken seriously. So it could be the first symptoms that present, and it rarely presents with, you know, things like pain or something swelling, which is detected by a doctor these days, because more and more people are seeing the doctors and getting screened. It could also present with microscopic hematuria, and upon further assessment, after say an ultrasound, this tumor's growth is detected.
Okay, we have LTY on the line. How are you, LTY?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you, Meera. And how are you?
Very well, thank you. Your question?
Good afternoon, doctor.
Good afternoon.
Yes, we can hear you, Go ahead.
Yeah. I have one question, please, all right?
Yes.
I'm now 71 years old. Mm-hmm. Normally, I don't have problem with my bladder, but the question I want to ask is this. Sometimes when my bladder is full, I can't do it at one instant. I have to go the second time. Is it something to do with the detrusor muscle or the other muscle? I understand we have two muscles in our bladder, all right? Can you, is it necessary some infection if I go more than once? Can you please explain further? Thank you very much.
Thank you, LTY.
Thank you.
That's... At his age, at 71, a urologist will be thinking about whether this man has got a prostatic enlargement, yep. because that seems to be the most commonest cause for these symptoms. At 70, he would have about 70% chance of having prostatic enlargement causing symptoms suggestive of obstruction to the urinary tract. Mm-hmm. And I think that was what he was trying to tell us, that when he passes urine, that he cannot really empty everything and he had to do it once or twice and he never feels satisfied afterwards. So really, I don't think it's an issue with the detrusor muscle, although in some instances it could be, especially in patients who has neurological conditions such as previous stroke or back injury or even long-standing diabetes which has been poorly controlled. This can itself affects the nervous supply to the bladder and weaken it. But majority of cases usually are related to prostatic enlargement. And I think Mr. LT should really come forward to see a urologist.
Okay, yeah. What would you do actually with an enlarged prostate? What do you do? Because I'm often told that most men die with an enlarged prostate than they die of prostate cancer. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think first of all, you need to separate the two conditions. They are totally different conditions. Okay. One is a benign enlargement. Mm-hmm. The other one is cancer. Benign enlargement, it's common. It's will affect me and Dr. Thiru when we get older. Mm-hmm. But cancers are a little bit more not frequent. So the patient needs to go and see a urologist where, we will take detailed history and quantify the severity of the urination issues. Examination will be done to estimate the size of the prostate and also to see whether the prostate feels benign or possibly cancerous. The patient usually will be asked to urinate in a machine whereby this machine will calculate the speed of the urination.
Okay.
And from looking at the graph, we can tell whether they have significant obstructive symptoms or not. And if they do, and they have mild, maybe to moderate symptoms, they can get by actually with just medications. But if their symptoms are severe, and in some instances, they can even develop retention where they cannot pee at all. Mm-hmm. They may need to have surgery done.
Okay, all right. Just to move on, blood in the urine. Inherited disorders are another cause of blood in the urine, such as?
Well, certainly that's another big area in which inherited problems can give rise to blood in the urine. Once again, if you go back to the causes of blood in the urine, it could be a systemic cause, meaning that you may have a defect in your bleeding. For example, hemophiliacs, who bleed easily, they may bleed in the urinary tract and present with blood in the urine, or more particularly the kidneys. For example, adult polycystic kidney disease, it's an inherited disease in which you develop large cysts in the kidneys, and these cysts then can rupture and you may have bleeding as well.
Okay, but is it common in Malaysia?
Well, adult polycystic kidney disease is fairly common. The incidence of APKD is between 1 to 4% among the general population. So there are quite a number of people out there who may be having APKD and are still not aware of it, actually.
APKD is?
Yes, it's adult polycystic kidney disease. It's an inherited disease. It's autosomal dominant, meaning that if your parents have it, you have got a 50% chance of having it as well.
Okay. Can you address the problem at the younger age to ensure that, you're able to live without it interfering in your life?
Well, the main problem with adult polycystic kidney disease is essentially high blood pressure coming on early in your life.
Okay.
And then subsequently renal failure coming on, and then you may have other complications as a result of the cyst. But generally, at the current moment, there's no real cure for APKD. They've moved on to genetic testing, meaning that we can test patient's blood and confirm whether you've been affected by it or not. But as far as therapy is concerned, we still are a long way off.
Okay, what about injuries to the kidney? Contact sports and accidents, all of that can cause blood in the urine as well.
Yeah, I'll leave that to the urologist.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's one of those...
Is this common?
Every now and again, it will be, emergency department presentation after an accident. The patient may actually appear normal. Externally, they may not be any bruising or anything, and when you test the blood and you'll find blood, and subsequently on further investigation like a scan, it will reveal some degree of injury to the kidney, from say simple bruising, contusion, or a simple cut, laceration, to even a serious one where the major vessel that's supplying kidney is torn off.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. What about exercise, contact sports?
Exercise, yeah. Same thing, not just accidents. We've got patients who come after, you know, a rugby game or some form of contact sports. Okay. Or even as simple as falling down or hitting a handle bike, for instance, it has happened. So because the kidney is not so much, the kidney sits in a very fixed area in the body, and you can injure it easily if the force is hard enough.
How would you describe where it actually is?
Usually it's around the loin at the back.
At the back.
That's where it is, yeah.
Okay.
Mm. But just to add to what Dr. Badrul has said, exercise-induced hematuria, apart from the entity in which he mentioned where there's some contact and some trauma, there's also another entity which is quite common in sports people. People who do very strenuous activities. And it was initially described as the march hematuria, where they found soldiers after a long march getting blood in the urine. And subsequently, it's quite well documented. There's an entity known as exercise-induced hematuria, or blood in the urine. After very strenuous exercise, you can get an episode of bloody urine, but this is usually self-limiting and it goes off after a day or two, and for all tests will be negative.
Do we know why that causes bloody
urine?
Well,
multiple factors. One of it is trauma itself, the trauma of a strenuous activity causing some micro injuries in the bladder or in the kidneys. There's also a theory in which says that severe exercise can result in breakdown of red blood cells, and these broken down red blood cells then leak into the urine and discolor the urine. Another theory is that when you do severe exercise, you are basically lacking oxygen to vital tissues in the body, and these tissues then undergo ischemia and can injure themselves.
Okay. So, we've spoken about a wide spectrum of causes of blood in the urine. And how do you then start to weed out, okay, it's not this, it's not this? Do you have a long list, or does it go along with other symptoms before you decide what it could possibly be?
Well, we'll say common things are common. And the common things are usually infection, and the patient would probably will see a GP first of all. That's the main first point of contact to anyone who has the symptoms. And like I said, alarming sign would be gross blood in the urine, and automatically I think the patient should be referred to see a specialist from there on. But for those who doesn't have visible blood, but has symptoms suggestive of infection, they should be treated first of all. But failing which the treatment, then the GP would probably need to think about other causes and if there is any, and they should be sent, for further assessment.
Okay. Yeah. What is your major concern as a urologist? Are people presenting, or are people coming forward when they have blood in the urine? Or how do you feel about this whole topic, and what would you like us to take away from your area of specialty, which is as a urologist?
It's something that someone cannot just leave it away. It's at least a visit to the urologist or nephrologist is required, just to make sure that they don't fall into the category where they may develop problems later in life. What we know in about, say, 1-3% of patients who's got no symptoms, microscopic hematuria, and we see them, say, after about 2 years, they do develop this sort of problem, especially malignancy, and some of them may even develop medical disease of the kidney. So let's not miss them.
Okay. And from your area as a nephrologist, Dr. Thiru?
From the medical point of view, I think an important consideration is actually the drug history. Because nowadays, you see, it's very common for people to be on antiplatelets and anticoagulants for heart disease, for strokes and things like that. So a lot of these drugs can cause leakage of red blood cells in the urine. So I think you shouldn't be overly alarmed, especially if it's a microscopic hematuria. But I think you should evaluate yourself thoroughly and try and come to a firm reason why you have this blood in the urine.
Okay.
It may be something innocuous like the drugs that you're taking.
So there's no one treatment option for all of this?
Nope, it's a big jigsaw puzzle you need to figure out.
It really is. So I suppose the safest thing to do is to do your general screening every year? And is that, would that be a preventive measure or to pick up problems
I think in this day and age where medical facilities are so easily reachable, I think it's advisable for the general population to go for health screening and try and pick up problems before they arrive at your doorstep.
Okay, thank you both gentlemen for joining me today. Dr. Badrul Hisham Bahadur, consultant neurologist, Dr. Thiruvendran Thilanganathan, who's a consultant nephrologist, talking to us from about blood in the urine. When do you actually see a specialist? All from Sunway Medical Center on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.